This is Find Your Dream Job, the podcast that helps you get hired, have the career you want, and make a difference in life. I'm your host, Mac Pritchard. I'm also the founder of Mac's List. It's a job board in the Pacific Northwest that helps you find a fulfilling career. Every Wednesday, I talk to a different expert about the tools you need to get the work you want. Find Your Dream Job is brought to you by Top Resume. Top Resume has helped more than 400,000 professionals land more interviews and get hired faster. Get a free review of your resume today. Go to maxlist.org/top resume. Your connections with others can make a big difference in your job search. The people you meet when you look for work can tell you about hidden jobs and give insights into what hiring managers want. Sophia Wellens is here to talk about how to build effective relationships when you network. She's a recruiter at Galwa. Her company specializes in the research and development of new technologies. Sophia joins us from Portland, Oregon. Well, let's get started, Sophia. You're a recruiter. You've helped hire hundreds of people. Why do effective relationships matter so much in hiring?
Your first introduction to a recruiter or to a hiring manager is a beginning of your relationship in that process. Even if the interview doesn't end in an offer, you have effectively met another human being or a variety of other human beings and formed an impression on them, and they will remember you. So effective relationships are the key in order to both stand out as an applicant as well as to stand out within your interview. And occasionally, you know, down the line, even if you don't get the job of the original interview, might be the key to getting a job in another opportunity as they open up. So effective relationships are the hiring process, really.
And tell us more about why that matters. Why are connections, even the slightest of connections, so important when recruiters like you are sorting through so many resumes?
Well, soft skills are deeply important in being successful in a role. So even if you have the technical skills or the ability to do the roles, whatever it may be, the technical skills for that role, the ability to work interpersonally with one another is going to be vital, especially as our society evolves with technology. And so that is relationship building. That is building trust with one another. That is, you know, collaborative communication skills. That is relationship building. So it is an indicator of being able to be successful in a role to begin with. Additionally, many people will say, you know, the majority of roles are open, you know, are not posted. And a lot of them are. However, there is, you know, having an insight into a role opening up before it's been posted is going to be something you learn through your network, through the relationships you've built. And that will give you an opportunity to apply early or apply to a role that you know more about than what is just on the bullet points of the job description. And that all comes from other human connections.
What do you say to a listener who might worry that they don't have the right relationships? What advice would you have for someone like that?
Yeah, and that's really hard. You know, personally for me, some of my strongest relationships have come from working a variety of different jobs at different companies that I've been at. So if somebody is new to the industry or has been out of their industry or has been in a role for, you know, multiple years and hasn't had connections outside of that company, that will be a challenge to start building that up from scratch. I'd say you never know who you know and who they know. So even if you don't have professional network in a certain area, your hobbies might have people that are connected to those areas. Your friends or friends may have people that are connected in those areas. So really just starting to catalog, who do you know and what do you like to do? Who are the people that do those things? And starting to get more involved and out there to meet new people would be a great place to start. If you're specifically looking for a role like right now, connecting with different recruiters, ideally like on LinkedIn is an easy way to just connect with them that are primarily focused on your skill set or your industry would be a great place to just start building that from the ground up.
I want to talk more about how to connect with recruiters and how to build effective relationships when networking. Before we get there, Sophia, in your experience, what stops people from building effective relationships while networking, especially during a job search? What do you see as barriers that prevents people from doing that?
I think there's a couple of things. One, just personal inclination. You know, it's hard and scary to meet new people. and sometimes put yourself out there. And depending on your, if you're an introvert or an extrovert, that's going to be just a challenge in general. The second thing is when you're in job search mode, you have an agenda, you know, you need a job, you want something from other people, and you know, you want it usually quicker, rather than not. And that comes across, I think, in different conversations. So building authentic and effective relationships are really key in that area. And when you are going into a relationship wanting something from the other person immediately, that's what kind of puts people's guard up. So it's having patience that is necessary to really build those effective relationships. It's understanding that you're connecting authentically with another human being and not necessarily connecting with someone because they can get you a job. And that's where I think a lot of networking doesn't maybe necessarily fail, but it does have the challenges to overcome and build that trust with another human being.
I know we're going to talk in a moment about how to build those connections, but I want to go back to a point you made a moment ago, which is your recommendation that candidates reach out to recruiters. And I hear from job seekers often about this. I'd like to find the recruiters in my field and approach them. What's your best advice about how to do that? Because you're a recruiter, you hear from people all the time. What works and what doesn't work, Sophia?
Finding somebody that's specific in your field is going to be key. You know, as a technical recruiter, I can't really help anyone in the finance field because I don't have those connections there. So even just going on LinkedIn and finding someone that has a background in what you do or has potential connections to other people or their companies or follows other companies that are relevant to your skill set would be helpful. You know, I've had people reach out directly on LinkedIn and just check in and ask for an informational call. Which is great. I think the best way to reach out is just to generally get to know you conversation for some recruiters, in my personal opinion, without going immediately in for the ask of, can you get me a job? That is something that will help people stand out as well. But really, LinkedIn would be a great place to start. Additional opportunities in just networking events around towns that you're in, different networking groups or meetups would be a great place as well. If there are job fairs or career fairs that you can go to that are specific to what you're looking for, that's also a great place to have some one-on-one time with whoever is either directly recruiting for that company or recruiting adjacent for that company. And those are all great opportunities just to approach someone and start to get to know them and what they do, what they're hiring for, who they are, and then just start building that rapport from there.
So you use LinkedIn and other online tools to research and find the recruiters in your field, whatever your profession may be. You reach out to the recruiter. You ask for a conversation, a virtual meeting perhaps by Zoom or old-fashioned telephone call. What should your expectation be for that call? And what does success look like at the end of that conversation from a candidate's point of view?
I guess it'll kind of depend on what the candidate's hoping to receive from that as well. You know, a great success would be, hey, I have an opportunity open and you're the perfect candidate for it. Let's talk. That might not happen right now in the environment we're in. So success to me, if I were in that position, would just be a call. The person responded. We had an informational call. I have more context on what the company is, what they're hiring for, who this person is, what the company's like. And then maybe like a follow-up cadence that you could feel comfortable just going with, either just checking back in with that recruiter, asking, can I check in every month, every quarter, just to see how things are going, and then see if that that rapport is established. You could do that. But really, success is going to depend on what you're looking for, your timeline. The recruiters that you reach out to are all going to have likely different abilities to help too. So I think success on a low level would be getting that call and just having that connection started.
What mistakes do you see job seekers make when they reach out to recruiters and try to maintain a relationship over time?
I guess the first mistake is just reaching out to a recruiter that's not relevant to your field. A lot of recruiters specialize sometimes in a very niche environment. So making sure that you're reaching out to the ones that will have roles or companies or contacts in the field that you're interested in would be helpful. Another is kind of coming straight out of the gate with an ask, you know, can you find me a job? Do you have anything you're hiring? And if they don't, you know, kind of giving up on that relationship, because you never know what might happen later down the line. And then a third is just kind of maybe letting things fall off. It's kind of hard just to keep in contact with people in general, especially if, you know, the answer is, hey, not yet, hey, not yet. But just making sure that you're organized and just checking in every once in a while with a few people that you have consistently is probably going to be key to success and oftentimes one of the hardest things to, maintain.
Well, terrific. I want to take a break. And when we come back in the second segment, Sophia, I want to talk about your ideas for how to build effective relationships while you're networking during a job search. So stay with us and we'll be back in a moment. Are you ready to show your resume to others when you network? Go to maxlist.org/top resume. The experts at Top Resume will review your resume for free. Go to maxlist.org/top resume. Find out how to fix your resume right away, or hire Top Resume to do it for you. Go to maxlist.org/top resume. Now, let's get back to the show. We're back at the MaxList studio. I'm talking with Sophia Wellens. She's a recruiter at Galwa. Her company specializes in the research and development of new technologies. Sophia joins us from Portland, Oregon. Now, Sophia, before the break, we were talking about our topic today, how to build effective relationships when you network. But we dug in a little bit about how to work with recruiters. That's a question I get a lot from listeners, and I expect you do as well. Now I'd like to really walk through your tips for how to build those effective relationships, especially when you're networking during a job search. One of your tips, and you touched on this in the first segment, was to go to events that interest you. What kind of events do you recommend someone attend in order to build effective relationships, and what should they do when they get there?
No, that's a great question. You know, there are oftentimes job fairs, career, information fairs, and networking meetups in different cities that are specifically focused on business connections. And I think those are great, especially because people are in a similar, mindset and are also looking, potentially for those roles too. What I also suggest is just looking at the things that you enjoy doing. Within Portland, there's PDX Women in Technology that has really great, fun events and happy hours and talks. There are other companies that help and facilitate different, tech talks or just general lectures as well. There's also just general interest groups too. Dancing, running groups. I think pickleball has really picked up recently in the general culture of the world. So those are all going to attract people from different walks of life as well, whether, they could, help you immediately in your job search or not. Potentially yes, potentially no, but they would be opportunities for you to authentically build a connection with another person. And that other person will then know you and know you as a person and not necessarily just a job seeker. And I would absolutely say, let them know you're looking, let them know what you do without any expectation while you build those connections. And also, maybe take care of yourself and your own mental health by engaging in things that you do enjoy. And things might come out from there. You never know who will be able to help you, that might not be traditionally related to a job search networking event.
How do you strike that balance between, especially at non-professional events, of both connecting with people personally and letting them know that you're doing a job search? What have you seen work, Sophia?
Yeah, I think having the job search not be the forefront of your conversation on those more personal hobbies is good advice, but don't be ashamed to admit it you know, that you're unemployed or that you're looking or that you, you know, you might be looking to change jobs at any given point. And I'm feeling, you know, I would say, most people, when you meet them, kind of ask, you know, what do you do? That's a very early on conversation. So I think that would be more than, you know, fine to talk to about that at that given point. But I wouldn't lead with that as like the goal of the relationship when you're doing kind of more than your personal hobby work, but it is something that can potentially help, and potentially help in a way that isn't as stressful as maybe going to a networking event. When it comes to the networking events, you know, you're kind of looking at opportunities and people that can are aligned with your professional interests as well. So, you know, lean all in, but definitely continue to ask interpersonal questions for them as well. Get to know them as people. It doesn't always have to be centered around a job search or a career or career projects. They can be, what were your weekend plans? What do you want to do, in the summer? And those types of just kind of small talk, interpersonal communication can also help just build enough rapport and trust so that when you do get to the conversation around, this is the job I'm looking for, I'd really like to work for you, it's maybe received a little bit more gentle.
How can taking an interest in other people help you build better relationships, especially when you're networking?
I mean, I think that's how you build relationships in general. You have to look out for yourself, of course, but it's building relationships isn't looking internally. It's looking externally. It's caring about another person. So I think in any given point, it's showing up and, you know, being conscientious of the person that you're talking to, having a two-way conversation. So it's about them as well as you. People like to talk about themselves too. So that's going to give you leave them feeling good and feeling like you cared and were interested in them too. And of course that goes both ways as well. Make sure it's a healthy connection. But that's going to be key to building relationships. Having curiosity about another person helps build trust that you are interested and you do care, and you there are there to work with them and not just for what you can get from them. And I think that's where a lot of networking events are challenging, is there's already kind of a moment of, okay, people are here because they want something from me. But really you need to go into it with, okay, how can I just connect to another person? Maybe that'll yield some good results. Maybe it won't immediately, but that I think is more of a mindset that benefits long term than the immediate. You know, what can I get from this person? What can they do for me? It's a lot of what can I do for them, and how can we build a relationship together?
Do you have a favorite question or questions, Sophia, that you recommend asking to demonstrate your curiosity in others and help connect with people perhaps you're meeting for the first time?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know, actually. I generally just strike up a conversation about what's maybe going on around me or what the event's about. I think an easy one is, what do you do? What are you, looking for here? And then just kind of going from there. I think my favorite question as a recruiter to ask another person is usually, what do you want to do? Like, what makes you happy? What do you enjoy the most? And I think that's a nice open-ended question that you can adapt to different situations, because people like to think about, hey, what do I enjoy the most? What does make me happy? And then when people are passionate about something or interested in something, they want to talk about it. And then that kind of usually sparks a nice conversation back and forth if it's something you're also interested in learning more about.
How do you recommend staying connected with someone that you meet at a professional event after the event is over? What have you seen work?
Checking, it's kind of a gradual approach. So kind of checking in every once in a while, depending on, the level of relationship you've built there, maybe sharing an article you found interesting, maybe checking in if they are going to another event that you are going to. I would say, maybe every other week, maybe once a month, just to kind of depending on, the temperature of the room there. I wouldn't go all in super, super quickly. Like any kind of friendship or relationship you're building, you kind of want to make a gradual approach to that. So maybe it's asking them out for coffee one-on-one to learn more about their field, or just do more of an informational interview as well. I think that's a great way to start. And then from there, you kind of just to figure out, depending on the person you've connected with, what makes the most sense.
You mentioned both in this segment and our first segment, the importance of connecting with people outside of professional circles when you're doing a job search. Tell us more about why that's can be invaluable. How can telling the people at your running club or your faith community that you're looking for work help you not only build effective relationships, but help with your networking?
Yeah. I mean, at that point, potentially they know you as a person. So they know a little bit more dimensions of you that they can, they've built that trust and the rapport with. And so they're kind of already vouching for you with their own network. You've got kind of someone that's already in your corner. And so that's really helpful just in general. And then you never know who other people know. People are highly connected. And if you haven't been in the workforce for a while, or if you're kind of transitioning out of a career long term, you might be talking to someone who's been in three different jobs who'd be like, oh my gosh, I know this person in this company. That'd be really great for there. Or I knew this with the person in this company. And a couple degrees of separation might get you and connected to the right person. And you just never know about that. So I'd say just never close any doors that you might have available to you that you are unaware of.
Terrific. Well, it's been a great conversation, Sophia. Now tell us what's next for you.
Yeah, I'm currently working at GALWA as a recruiter and internship program manager, really focusing on long-term relationship management and engagement. So we are building a strong collaborative culture and maintaining that with our candidates and people that we hire long-term.
Terrific. Well, I know that listeners can learn more about you and your work by visiting the GALWA website, and that URL is lifeatgalwa.com. We'll be sure to include that in the show notes as well. And that you invite listeners to connect with you on LinkedIn too. And when they do reach out to you, I hope they'll mention they heard you on Find Your Dream Job. Now, Sophia, given all the great advice you've shared today, what's the one thing you want a listener to remember about how to build effective relationships when you network?
Be authentic. You know, people can tell when you're genuine and when you're not. And the best places to work are the places where you can be yourself. So I would say go into every conversation just authentically yourself, and then genuinely interested and invested in those the relationships.
Make sure you never miss an episode of Find Your Dream Job. Subscribe to our free podcast newsletter. You'll get information about our guests and transcripts of every show. Go to maxlist.org/newsletters. Again, that's maxlist.org/newsletters. Next week, our guest will be Cassie Ademola. She's a human resources leader, career brand polisher, and professional resume writer. Cassie has looked at thousands of resumes, and she sees job seekers regularly leave out five important elements that matter to employers. Wouldn't you like to know what they are? Join us next Wednesday when Cassie Ademola and I talk about what your resume is missing. Until next time, thanks for letting us help you find your dream job. This show is produced by MaxList. Susan Thornton-Hoff schedules our guests and writes our newsletter. Lisa Kislin-Barry Anderson manages our social media. Our sound engineer is Matt Fiorillo. Ryan Morrison at Podfly Productions edits the show. Dawn Mole creates our transcripts. And our music is by Freddie Trujillo. This is Mac Pritchard. See you next week.